Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service from our home to your home here from Unity Center of Light. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we want to remind you that there is a Zoom fellowship connected with this message meditation that we're doing today. So if you'd like to, you know, be part of that Zoom meditation, Zoom fellowship, and, you know, experience church with all of your Unity friends, please come and be a part of that. It's exciting. We've got great music, as always. Great discussion about the lesson. If there are things in the lesson that you might want to ask questions about, you can do it in that Zoom session. So we really look forward to seeing you in that session right after this. And now we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. Now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, April the 11th. The key word is imagination, and the affirmation is, as I imagine limitless possibilities. In childhood, my imagination helped me see fascinating shapes and wondrous creatures in cloud formations. Picking up a twig, I might have pretended I held a wand that could give me magical powers. An ordinary packing box could become a vessel to sail on or under the seas. An aircraft to fly higher than mountains, or even a spaceship I could fly to explore the stars. Much more than whimsy, imagination is a potent spiritual tool. I use my imagination with intention to give shape to my dreams and goals. Although my childhood may be a memory, I am grateful that I can still use my imagination to create the life of my dreams as I envision possibilities beyond the reality I know and the world I see. The scripture reading is Luke 10:24, and it reads, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. Well, good morning. And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light. You know, this is after the resurrection. So we're going to talk today about after the resurrection, now what? Okay. So at this point, you know, again, Easter is over. The resurrection has happened. Sometimes you'll hear that we're in a post-resurrection, you know, era. So we're asking ourselves, what do we do now? All right. Well, Jesus hung around for 40 days after the resurrection just to answer that question, now what? And in this lesson, we will explore our post-resurrection mission, what it entails. An Easter card that we received from one of our Unity members, it expressed it in this way. It said, "May you know the joy of his resurrection, the abundance of his life, the peace of his presence, and the wonder of his love." All right? This is an explanation of what is ours to experience as a result of the resurrection, that being to live life joyfully, abundantly, peacefully, with love. You know, and that's really what our goal is once we begin to understand how to do that with the challenging circumstances that are all around us. And again, this is the truth even with what we are experiencing and have experienced in this past year. And the fact that we still are not certain as to what is before us, you know. We have some hope as to what is before us, but we're still not sure exactly what that is. You know, this is the nature of our spiritual journey, right, is to understand all of what Jesus did and what it means in the consciousness of humankind to also be able to do the same thing and greater. However, this isn't saying that, you know, when we talk about living life joyfully and all those kind of things and living at this high spiritual consciousness, this is not saying to not mourn when you need to mourn, or to weep when you need to weep, or to acknowledge your frustration or discouragement or loneliness or disappointment or fear, okay? We're not saying to ignore those things, you know, because you're trying to become more spiritual. These feelings and emotions are a normal part of the human experience and are meant to be recognized and explored for the awakening effect that they can have on our heart, mind, and soul. All right. Now I'm going to put up a slide because this is a run-on sentence. Pam said to me when she was looking over the slides, this is a run-on sentence. I said, I know, but I wanted to say it in this way. And, we have to understand the importance of our own spiritual development, that we come to understand the whole parable of Jesus' life. That's the key, trying to understand the entire whole parable of what his life meant, because it is about the progression of thought that helps us to break through our perceptions of what we are experiencing as we strive to move from perception to knowing, from illusion to reality, so that we can awaken to that which is universally true, meaning the truth that God is always active in my life and affairs, uninterrupted by what I am experiencing. Okay, so that's sort of the key. In the crucifixion was for Jesus the final work needed, the final thing he needed to do, to be free of being entrapped in believing that this worldly experience is all that there is. Okay? Now, as metaphysical Christians or in metaphysical Christian study, crucifixion is also often referred to as the letting go or detachment of all physical and emotional attachments that bog you down and keep you from being spiritually free. But our intellectual, emotional mind will yell out and say, well, how can that be so? You know, how can I detach from the human experience and the human condition? How can I be in the world and at the same time not be of it, you know, entrenched in all that it's about? And that's the thing for us all to look at. You know, yes, we are striving for a higher spiritual consciousness, but at the same time, we find ourselves very much connected to what is happening to us and all around us. And therein lies our dilemma as we try to negotiate our way from intellect to spirit, okay? And the view from our intellectual mind is extremely limited, trapped within its own perceptions. That's the key that we have to understand as we're saying, well, how do I be in the world and not of it? Okay. It's understanding that when we look at things purely through the intellectual mind, that we get a very limited viewpoint. You know, we're trapped within our own perceptions. And everybody, as we always say, can be experiencing the same conditions in a multitude of different ways, depending on the nature of our individual consciousness. All right. But the view from our spiritual mind is infinite and free, able to see what our intellect cannot see, all right? So the revealing word explains this, that this is because the intellect, now listen carefully, is not wise. The intellect is not wise. Wisdom is not its office. In other words, the intellect doesn't produce wisdom. It receives wisdom, okay? And however, it says the intellect is, the receiver of wisdom and can demonstrate wisdom when it faithfully carries out the instruction it receives from above. But on its own, it is hard for the intellect to realize that which is spiritual. The intellect always argues back and forth, endeavoring to prove that it is the highest authority. But as we read in John 3:30, he, Jesus, must become greater, and I, John, must become lesser. Okay? So our spiritual work is to strive to live from the our spiritual work is to strive to live from above. I keep slipping up on that word, to live from above, okay, the intellect, and at the same level where wisdom comes from. So let me say it again: we're striving to live above the intellect at the same level where wisdom comes from, because the intellect itself is not the origin of wisdom. It is the receiver of wisdom, as we just read. Okay? So in this state of consciousness, we will still experience the human condition for all that it is, but from the consciousness in which we can truly know that all is well. So when we strive to And I'll get to how we do that. When we strive to understand how to operate from above, from this higher level of consciousness, we will still be in the human condition. We will still go through a lot of the things that we're experiencing right now. But we will be still have an understanding that all is well. So that's how you are in the world, experiencing what's going on. But because you're operating from a higher state of consciousness, you know that whatever you are experiencing, all will be worked out. All is well. And as we just read in the Revealing Word, at lower levels of consciousness, the level of the intellect, we struggle to have faith. Okay, so because the intellect is not the office of wisdom, it's also not the office of faith. It's not the office of any of the 12 powers that we studied. Okay, it receives those powers. That's why in the study of the 12 powers, we talk about quickening the power within us. Okay, because the intellect receives those powers. So we will struggle to have faith because the intellect is not the office of faith. Rather, it receives faith from spirit. But if our intellect is not grounded in spirit, as we read in the slide from Revealing Word, it will argue as to whether or not faith can work in the conditions that are challenging us. Okay, so let me just say that again. Because the intellect is not the office of any of those 12 gifts from God, okay, it is not the origin of it, all right, it is the receiver of it. If it is, allow itself to raise to the level of a spiritual consciousness, it will struggle with these ideas. It'll say, "Well, I know about faith and love and understanding and all those, you know, and wisdom and whatnot. I know about those things, okay, but if it's not operating from the level of spirit, it's going to argue as to whether something like faith can work in the condition that is challenging us now." So listen to how Jesus explained this in John 3:31. Okay. He said, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and whoever accepts his testimony also certifies that God is true and real. He whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands, and whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." Okay. So this is a beautiful verse, and it's basically describing higher and lower states of consciousness. It makes sense that if through your daily work of prayer, meditation, what we call last week divine activity, so through your daily work of divine activity, which is prayer, meditation, if you have centered yourself in spirit, you would speak in terms like faith, peace, love, and joy from a perspective that transcends the capabilities of your emotional intellect. Okay, so again, that's the idea of operating from this higher level of consciousness, is that you're in these situations, okay, but you're still understanding that peace, love, faith, and joy can come into the situation because you're operating from the space in which it comes from, which is not the intellect, right? So rather than speaking words from the perspective that is based on the challenging conditions in your life, you would speak from the unconditional truth that raises you above the challenging conditions in your life. And this becomes possible when the office of the intellect, through prayer, empties itself of what it believes so that it can receive the faith of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the healing of God, okay? The healing, prospering power, all right? And in this higher state, the intellect would be unable to argue against the truth that God is real and completely in charge of your life and affairs, okay? So in a lower state, just at the level of the intellect, we will argue that, you know, we'll say God is in charge of my life and affairs, but not really be able to believe it and argue that these conditions that I'm experiencing are too challenging, okay? But when you operate at this higher level of consciousness, where these ideas come from, right, then you will know that God is in charge of your life and affairs and can overcome these conditions, and you will not argue with your own inner spiritual dynamic, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? So that this truth is from above, just as Jesus explained it. that which comes from above is above all, okay? Meaning no matter what is happening in your life, that is not for your highest good. Instead of continuing to deal with the life challenge from its same emotional, psychological level, you would rise above it and deal with it from above, meaning from a deep inner knowing that in God, a higher experience is possible. A healing experience is possible, okay? So we're going through whatever we're going through, whether it's something going on with our body, our mind, our finances, our experience in life, whatever it is, okay? We would find, if we're operating from this higher level of consciousness, instead of defining the situation as it is and being stuck in that, we would know with a deep inner knowing that an experience higher than this is possible. A healing is possible no matter what it is I may be experiencing in my body, my mind, my relationships, and whatever is going on. Right? And yes, as we always acknowledge, this is easier said than done. You know, I say that every week. I know this is easier said than done. But when you become committed to the daily practice of prayer and meditation, you start approaching your life from a higher state of consciousness, which naturally causes you to perceive and receive higher guidance for greater possibilities. Okay? Now, as the scripture explains, the one who comes from above is above all and knows firsthand that God is real and active in my life and affairs, our life and affairs. But the one who is of the earth, as the scripture said, belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. All right? Now, we spend enough time speaking about and fearing earthly things. It is our spiritual mission to do the work necessary to be able to be in our life, but from an inner knowing that transcends what is occurring in our life, a knowing from above. All right? This is what Jesus meant when he said, I am in the world, but not of it, meaning I can feel what you feel because I'm in the experience that you are in, but I maintain my centeredness in God where all things are possible. And again, the one who comes from heaven is above all, and you will be able to testify to what you have seen and heard, and whoever accepts your testimony will also be able to certify that God is real and active in their life and affairs. So when you, in other words, when you get it, when you really get it, and you become expression of this higher consciousness in your life, you become such an expression of it that your healing or your, whatever is happening in your life that people see changing will be a testament to the fact that you have and are operating from this higher level of being. And when you give testimony on it, because they have seen it work in your life, they will also begin to believe it can work in their life. Right? So that's how we spread this idea of healing. So here we are post-resurrection, a point in time where the evolution of human consciousness has risen to a level where it is capable of understanding and taking advantage of the teachings and accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And you've heard me say before that what happened, Jesus started out with a ministry. People weren't getting it. So he went to, the healing miracles that he did because they could see the miracle and they could get it, all right? But he understood that the words he was trying to teach them was above where they were at the time. That's why he said, my deeds are for today, but my words are forever, meaning the time will come when humankind will understand what it is that I'm teaching, all right? And we are those people. And yes, as we are continuously minded in Christianity, Jesus did experience being crucified, but it is time for us to realize he is no longer on the cross, and the nails that held him have been removed, and the tomb that held him is empty. In other words, the demonstration has been completed. Jesus proved all that he taught, and then stayed around for 40 days to make sure we understood and the meaning and the purpose of what he demonstrated and taught. And the key to understanding what he demonstrated and taught is to boil it down to one central idea, that being to live your life from above, a state of consciousness that always tapped into the divine aspect of your own being. And there's an inner calling within each one of us to step up into that consciousness from above, meaning the thinking and knowing that is greater than that which is challenging our faith, love, peace, and joy. So yes, we are going to be challenged in this human experience. We are being challenged in this human experience. But the idea is we are meant to listen for that calling, all right, that is saying to step up into this higher level of understanding so that you can begin to bring that peace, love, and faith and joy into your life. So every negative, fearful, unloving thought that we harbor is but another nail that keeps us nailed to our own cross. And to remove the nails and to come down, off the cross, we have to change our thinking from one who comes at life from an earthly perspective to one who approaches life from a heavenly knowing. Okay, so there's one where, as he said in that scripture, that you are, if you're of the earth, you're going to speak of earthly things. Okay, but when you're from above, you speak of heavenly things, the kingdom of heaven consciousness, where it is the origin from which the intellect, the office of the intellect, receives these ideas, these divine ideas, these 12 gifts from God, one by one, typically, or maybe two by two, three by three, depending on what it is you need to get through your life. You receive them because you're keeping the office of the intellect free from being overcrowded by talking about just earthly things. What is happening to me on the earth, right? So again, how do we move beyond the intellectual, mental, emotional process that keeps us approaching our lives from below instead of from above? Well, Jesus, when he first appeared to disciples in the upper room, and I'm going to talk about that after a while, after the resurrection, he said, "Peace be with you." And he was giving them a blessing of peace. Peace being the harmony and tranquility that comes from the awareness of your own indwelling presence. Let me say that again. Okay? Peace being the harmony and tranquility that comes from the awareness of your own indwelling Christ presence. Okay? So if you have an awareness of your own indwelling Christ presence, even in the midst of chaos, okay, you can have harmony and tranquility because you're tapped into that higher awareness as opposed to what is happening to you and around you. And even though we may not, have been aware of it up to this point, the Christ within each one of us has been continuously appearing in our consciousness and saying to us, "Peace be with you." But we can't hear it when we're operating from below, because at lower states of consciousness, we cannot recognize or perceive the still small voice of spirit. It is only when you raise your consciousness through your daily practice of prayer and meditation that you become able to hear the Christ saying to you, "Peace be with you." Okay? And again, I know I keep saying the daily practice of prayer and meditation. You say, well, what, it was asked, like, what is that? Okay. Well, it could be as simple as, but instead in the scripture, speaking about higher things. Okay. The words that you use have a great impact on where your consciousness is held. So, you don't have to really sit in prayer and meditation, even though that's a good practice. The more time, especially, you can spend in meditation, is good. But the key here is that you're always open and receptive to receiving higher divine ideas to help you overcome the struggle you may be having with the earthly speaking that you may want to do. Okay, so this idea of peace be with you. And it explains in a revealing word how to raise your consciousness above what is occurring in your life. And this is what it says. When you continuously use words of truth, you are doing the work which forms the spiritual soul, substance, and life of spirit within you. And this soul, substance, and life of spirit manifests within you as your perfect mind and body. Every student of truth who diligently practices using words of truth is accelerating the awakening of the Christ within. So through the daily practice of meditating on the words of truth, you will come to know that what it means to be from above and to abide in Christ's mind. Okay? So hopefully, that helps you understand a little bit more about the practice of this process. You know, and after the resurrection, Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room to give them more advanced instruction on how to free themselves from their lower fearful states of mind, you know, so that they too could be raised to their Christ consciousness. Because you got to remember, they were frightened after the crucifixion. You know, their master had been taken from them. So, you know, that there's a message embedded in his first words to them again, which was, peace be with you. And the upper room is the place in consciousness we enter when we truly learn to pray and meditate from our inner spirit, our higher self, as opposed to just closing our eyes and listening to the idle chatter of our intellect. Okay? So when you practice prayer meditation daily, you accumulate, and listen carefully, a divine vibration in your upper room. And this prepares your consciousness for the Christ to suddenly appear, okay? So if you're saying to yourself, well, nothing's happening, you got to ask yourself, you know, and sort of pay attention to what is happening as you're practicing, as you're doing your prayer meditation time, you know, what is going on? But the more time you spend doing it, the more you raise the vibration in your upper room and prepare yourself for the Christ to suddenly appear. So it's in this prayerful state of consciousness, the upper room, that the arisen, transformed Jesus meets his disciples. And we're told that Jesus shows them the marks in his hands and in his feet where the nails were. And we are told that he did this to prove that he was indeed the arisen Lord. However, metaphysically, or metaphysical teachings unlock the deeper meaning of what Jesus did. He showed them the marks in his hands and feet to reveal that the nails had been removed, and to explain to them how the nails were removed. That's the key, all right? So the nails symbolize how through fearful, unloving, unforgiving, lower-level human thought, we emotionally nail ourselves to the cross. The cross being the states of consciousness that traps us in disturbing and unpleasant experiences. You get it? Okay? So when you feel yourself trapped in an unpleasant experience, worrying about something, you can say to yourself, this worry is nailing me to this experience, all right? Causing us to believe that this is our only reality, okay? So, and that's the interesting about the human emotional state, is that through our emotional dynamics, our fear, we can nail ourselves to a situation, and then once we've done that, we believe this is our only reality. We can't see a way out of it, okay? And this, you know, this makes it almost impossible for us to believe that there is something greater than what we are experiencing. But what Jesus was explaining to his disciples is every time you allow your lower emotions to win out in a disturbing situation in your life, again, you actually nail yourself to that reality and it becomes your cross. Fear nails you to the experience that's causing you to be fearful. That is why when you try to meditate, right, you find yourself being bombarded by the disturbing things in your life. It's because you have nailed yourself to those disturbing experiences with all of their weighty earthly concerns. And I'm saying you, but as I put this lesson together, I was looking at my own nails and my own cross, right? And the weighty things that hold me down to these earthly concerns. I said to Pam this morning that, you know, I know I'm looking a little out of it, but it's because I'm just contemplating, you know, what's next in my life, right? I was kind of nailed to that idea, as opposed to the affirmation that I use. It says, I'm grateful that God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life, right? So I should be holding on to those words of truth, as opposed to worrying about, where's my life going? What's coming next? Okay. And this is what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 16:19, when he said to Peter, again, you know this, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. Okay. So when you build your inner church on faith in the images and in the things of God, you loose and free your spirit to lift you up and provide for you from a source you know not of, right? So that's the key. As we're being held down to earthly things, we can't figure out how we're going to get out of this. But when you let go and let God, then you allow yourself to be lifted up to a place where you can get a miracle, so to speak, or a situation, a solution that you did not know anything about. All right? So it's through the daily practice of spiritual contemplation of words of truth, filled with kindness and compassion and forgiveness and love and faith, that the nails that bind you are removed from your hands and feet, setting you free to receive the healing you prayed for by being lifted by Spirit out of the conditions that are crucifying you. Okay? So when Jesus said on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," he set in motion the process that will release his physical body from its bondage to suffering and allow it to be raised to the vibration where suffering does not exist. Okay? So thus the nails of suffering were removed and his physical body became one with his Christ body. So when he came into the upper room and said to the disciples, "Peace be with you," he was seeking to relieve them of their anguish by showing them how he had successfully freed himself from the pangs of fear that keep us from being spiritually free. Okay. Now the question we must ponder in this lesson is, do I really want to be free? Do I want these nails removed? Because to be free, truly free, takes a tremendous amount of work and courage and discipline. In Bishop Spong's book, This Hebrew Lord, he wrote, in Jesus of Nazareth, we see the courage to be free being revealed. Okay? So it takes a tremendous amount of courage to walk the spiritual path and live the spiritual life. As you heard me say many times before, it's more than just a notion. Okay? And many of you probably have heard the saying, you know, getting old isn't for sissies. Well, it's the same thing with walking the spiritual path. It isn't for sissies. Jesus remained for 40 days after the resurrection to give his disciples additional advanced training to help them in their own transformation. The disciples, like many of us, were hard-headed and had a difficult time understanding what Jesus was trying to convey. But to their credit, now listen carefully, they at least understood the importance of returning to the upper room, meaning a higher receptive state of consciousness. And that is the key for every one of us. We must do the daily spiritual work necessary to elevate our state of mind to the upper room. The upper room being the state of consciousness that is vibrant with spiritual energy. And your upper room becomes vibrant with spiritual energy when you spend time daily contemplating thoughts of God, being in charge of your life and affairs. When your upper room is ready, the Christ will appear and show you how to remove the emotional nails from your hands and feet that bind you and lift you up to the experiences of faith, peace, love, and joy. And it doesn't matter what the origin of those nails may be, because whatever your worldly challenge happens to be, when the Christ enters the upper room, you will receive the instructions you need to remove the nails that bind you. Okay? So no matter what we may be struggling with, it is time for each one of us to realize that we're now on the other side of the crucifixion, resurrection experience. This is when Jesus proved to us that we also can overcome and be free of any challenge when we put our faith in Christ as our hope of glory. And as Jesus stated in John 8:36, when the Son of God makes you free, you will be free indeed. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Gently close your eyes and place your feet flat to the earth. Release any tension from your neck and shoulders. And feel your entire body letting go in preparation for time in meditation with God as your focus. This meditation is called New Beginnings, the post-resurrection New Beginnings. So take a deep breath in and out gently, and once again, breathe in and out. A quiet time of meditation opens our minds and our hearts. As we take time to still our thoughts and relax our bodies, we find it easy to tune in to that holy place within. Taking a few deep cleansing breaths, we calm and quiet any disturbing thoughts or emotions. I invite you now to take the following words as your very own. I am centered and poised. Any appearance of lack or chaos in my life seems distant as I feel the calm peace of my soul deep within. In this place, I hold fast to the highest vision of who I am. I believe in myself and I follow my heart. I am open to new possibilities, new beginnings. I can reach for the fulfillment of my heart's desire, having faith in myself and allowing desire a chance to flower and bloom in my life. I have the inner strength to not despair when things seem to go wrong. These obstacles are only twigs and branches on my path that I gently and easily remove out of my way as I continue forward. My energy of quiet determination and faith molds any situation to a positive outcome. I take positive action toward my good, and my good multiplies. New doors of possibility open for me with each step, and I feel life supporting me each moment. And now let's take the next few moments to allow the Holy Spirit to connect with us as we enter into that secret place of the Most High, or the upper room. Without the sound of my voice, use this hallowed time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Thank you, God, for your light that shines in and through us. We acknowledge your answers to our prayers, and we are grateful for new beginnings. What will we do today to encourage, uplift, and support each other? We will be about our Father's business and just love the people. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. And when you are ready, come back to your surroundings. With a heart full of faith. And so it is. Amen.
Very nice, sweetie. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds and allow some of the treasure that flows into our life to flow into our spiritual home. And again, we give thanks from Unity Center of Light to all of you who have been giving so abundantly and freely. And so with that in mind, hold your offering in your hand, in your heart, in your mind, and let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. So you have light notes?
Yes. Okay. The Bowie Food Pantry continues, as always, to do very much needed work feeding Bowie families. The last time I made this announcement, I mentioned how easy it is to contribute. So Butch and I went to the grocery store and bought bags of food and drove over to the food pantry right behind where we were having physical church. It really is very simple and fast. We put a piece of paper in each of the bags that say, from Unity Center of Light. We popped the trunk, and someone was right there to take the bags out of the car. It was easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Mm-hmm. Let's all continue to help one another and show the love that we have in our hearts for our brothers and sisters. We very much appreciate all of you. We have current copies of Science of Mind and Daily Word magazines available for you if you would like them. Please call Patty, let her know you are interested, and she will mail them to you. Now, this is a shout out to our pastoral care team. Look out for the spring outreach card celebrating the hope spring brings. If you don't get a card and would like to receive future mailings, contact the office to make sure that we have your current contact information. Big thanks to the pastoral care team for all the support and all that they do. Our next virtual family meeting, is Sunday, April 25th at 1 p.m. Please check your updates and e-newsletter for details. And at the beginning of the service, Butch was talking about Zoom, because we know a lot of people just watch the YouTube service and haven't gotten to make an experience out of the Zoom fellowship. There's a lot of things that go on in the Zoom fellowship. We have really good music. We have fellowship with our Unity friends and discussions about the message. We would love to see your face in the place. We miss seeing all our congregation. That concludes our announcements for today.
All right. So is it time to bless the path?
Yes. Okay. So we're going to bless the path we each will walk this week, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, and we can go right into saying a prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been wonderful being here with you today, bringing you this service, and we hope to see you in Zoom. Otherwise, have a wonderful and safe week.
Bye-bye.